you. So I'm going to talk about a theoretical understanding of the splenic behavior observed in organic material, and I will discuss about some recent work on the stability of the proposed splenic state, and some earlier work has been done in collaboration with Patrick Lee and Sentier. So this is the organic material. This is the quasi two-dimensional, and each two-dimensional layer is covered by this molecule BDT, and they form this kind of dimer structure, and this dimer form a triangular lattice, and there are one active electrons per site, and it's a half field, and at the ambient pressure it's an insulator, and it's almost isotropic triangular lattice, and most interesting thing is that there's no magnetic long range order down to very low temperature, although the exchange energy is pretty high. So as I mentioned, at the ambient pressure, the resistivity increases, so it's an insulator. And if you apply pressure, then it eventually becomes formulated matter. And in between, there is a superconductor. But in this talk, I will focus on this paramagnetic insulating state at the ambient pressure. So this is the NMR absorption spectrum. So what this spectrum basically tells us that there's no change in the spectrum as temperature is lowered, in contrary to other material which shows big change at the near temperature. So there's no magnetic long range order. And this is the spin susceptibility measured from night shift. And important point is that in the zero temperature limit, the spin susceptibility is non-zero and finite. So it's like Pauli paramagnetic matter, even though this is an insulator. And this is the specific coefficient at low temperature, and is non-zero, again, finite, like matter. And the recent ratio, the ratio of this specific coefficient to the susceptibility is almost one in the unit of the non-interacting fermions. So this suggests that as far as thermal properties and magnetic properties are concerned, this sample, this material behaves as if it is matter, although electrically it's insulator. So spin and charges behave very differently, and this might be a physical realization of the long sort of spin liquid state. Just about room temperature at the ambient pressure. So on the theoretical side, we can model the system by the Hubbard model on the triangular lattice at half filling. And we know that in the larger limit, the Hubbard model reduced to the Heisenberg model, and the ground state is this near ordered state with 120 degree pattern. So therefore, this kind of non-magnetic ground state cannot be realized too deep inside the insulating state, but it should be realized near the meta-insulated transition. In this region, even though there is a charge gap, there's a significant charge fluctuations, and that can help disrupt the magnetic ordering. And indeed, there are some numerical indications which see some non-magnetic ground state stabilized near meta-insulated transition in the Hobart model or in the Heisenberg model with ring exchange term, which mimic the charge fluctuations. And one way of understanding this spin charge separated state is to use so-called slave particle approach, where one decomposes electrons into spinless and chargeless spinon and spinless chargeon, and ask how the spin sector and charge sector behave as one tunes the parameters in the Hamiltonian. And here is the mean field phase diagram. So when U is small, the usual Fermi liquid matter is the ground state. And when U is large, some translational symmetry breaking insulating ground state is realized. And in between, there is a window, tiny window, where the charge excitation, charge is gapped, so it's an insulator. However, the spin is spinons form some kind of Fermi surface with gapless excitations. So this window might be the state that is realized in this window might be the state that we are looking in this material. So in this paramagnetic insulating ground state, the charge excitations, this hole and double lone excitations are gapped. So at low energy, we can ignore them. However, there are particle hole excitations of these charge neutral spinons. And this spinon forming surface can maybe the origin for this finite spin susceptibility and finite specific heat coefficient. However, in this case, there is another player, which is the U1 gauge field. And this emergence of U1 gauge field has to do with the phase, U1 phase redundancy in decomposing electron into two parton operators.
Because there is no nesting. Right?
Yeah,
so there has to be.
Yeah. So this spinon is charged with respect to this emergent U1 gauge field, and they are strongly interacting with each other at low energies. Therefore, these spinons are not free fermions. Instead, they are a non-forming liquid. And this system has been studied a lot in the context of high-TC cuprates. Of course, there is no charge conductivity because it's insulator. And because of the spinoform surface, there is finite spin susceptibility. And this specific heat and various conductivity have this non-forming liquid behavior due to the gapless gauge field.
So the Wilson ratio is not finite. Is the Wilson ratio finite?
Yeah, so this is inconsistent with what is seen in experiment. And so there's something missing in this picture. The most importantly, the specific heat coefficient is diverging in this theory while it is constant in experiments in the low temperature limit. So actually, if we look at the experimental data for the specific coefficient and spin susceptibility, then one can note there is something happening at about 6 Kelvin where there is a kink in the specific coefficient and there is also kink in the spin susceptibility. So there might be a phase transition at this temperature from high temperature this non-forming liquid state where the spinoform surface is coupled with the U1 gauge field to a low temperature forming liquid state with a spinoform surface. So there have been some theoretical works on this, on the nature of this phase transition, And one possible scenario that we suggested is to look at the pairing instability of this spinon. So the physics is basically this Diels-Alder's law. So in the electromagnetism, when you have two parallel coils, then there is an attractive interaction. And likewise, these spinons are charged with respect to this emergent one-day field. And there is an attractive interaction for two spinons, which have same momentum in the same direction. And this may cause pairing instability. And this pairing instability is very different from the usual BCS instability in that the pairing is between two fermions on the same side of the point surface, as opposed to the BCS pairing instability, which occurs net momentum equals zero channel. So this, what we call Amperian pairing, occurs locally in the momentum space because it does not require, it does not exploit all form surface. So, however, this gauge interaction is a long range interaction, so it's a singular. So even though the available phase space is very limited, we think this instability may happen. And if this spinon pairing condenses, happens, then here are the consequences. So of course, this is not a real superconductivity because these spinons are charged neutral. And the portions of the Fermi surface where this spinon pairs are gapped due to the pairing. And most importantly, due to the Meissner effect, Higgs mechanism, the gauge field acquires gap. And at low energy, the gauge field will is not important. And then the ungapped portion of the Fermi surface will behave as a free fermion, and they will be destroyed by Fermi leakage. And one signature of this Amperian pairing is the translation symmetry breaking, because this spinon pair carries finite non-zero momentum, so it has to break the translation symmetry. Okay, so now I would like to switch gears to ask some more fundamental question. And all the discussions I presented up until this point is based on a very big assumption, that is the gauge field is in the deconfinement phase. And the question is this assumption a valid one or not? So by deconfinement, I mean the following. So here, the emergent U1 gauge field is defined on the underlying lattice. In this case, it's triangular lattice. And the physical meaning of the flux of the gauge field is the chirality, or the solid angle made by three spins residing on these corners of the triangle. And because of the underlying lattice, the gauge flux 0 and 2 pi are the same thing. And in this sense, this gauge theory is a compact gauge theory, unlike the usual electromagnetic field we have in our world. And in the free energy landscape, there's a 0 and 2 pi have the same free energy. So this system, microscopic system, allows a tunneling event, which is called instanton, where the flux changes by 2 pi. And this is localized in space and time. And it is known that if there is no gapless spinon, then this pure compact U1 gauge theory is always in confinement phase, which means that there are a lot of instanton events. And if there are a lot of instanton, then the flux, gauge flux, fluctuate widely, and because the magnetic flux of the gauge field is dual, is conjugate to the electric degrees freedom, widely fluctuating magnetic flux confines any electric degrees freedom. And spinons carries electric charge with respect to this emergent gauge field, so that the spinon has to be confined, and they cannot arise as a low energy excitation. So we have to avoid this kind of confinement in some way. And until this point, there's one mechanism. If we have a large number of massless spinon which have this Dirac spectrum, then this massless spinon can screen the gauge field, and the confinement phase can be stabilized. However, in a physical system, usually the number of spinon flavor n is not large, because we have only two spin flavor, and there can be a few valid degrees freedom. And in the present case, we have the forming surface of spinon with two spinon flavor. And clearly, the forming surface contains much more low energy degrees freedom than any finite number of Dirac spinons, because it's a line of forming surface is actually line of the gapless point, while Dirac points is just isolated points. So there is a hope that in the presence of spinon forming surface, the confinement phase is really stable for any non-zero spinon flavor. And I think that's the case for the following reason. So the way I approach this problem is the following. So I can view the forming surface of spinon in terms of infinite set of 1+1 dimensional chiral formions. So for example, along this particular angle theta, the particle excitation have particular velocity along this direction. And this formions essentially moves in 1+1 dimensional subspace in this 2+1 dimensional space and time. So even though the theory is a 2+1 dimensional, this particular formion around this forming point, forming surface, are localized in this plane. And as I mentioned, instanton, which is denoted as this red dot, is an event where the gauge flux changed by 2 pi. So it's a source of flux 2 pi. And as the formion or spinon is transported around the instanton in a long distance, then it has to enclose half of the solid angle around the instanton. Because if L is sufficiently large, then the transverse direction from the instanton to the plane is not important. So here, this is N is the angular momentum of the fermion. So if you represent the fermion in the angular representation, then that particular fermion is coupled to the gauge field, projected onto this plane, which is split by N over KF. Yeah, this makes sense because fermion have velocity momentum KF in this plane, and if this distance is this one, then angular momentum is N. So at subsequently long distance scale L, then all fermions enclose half of the solid angle. And since instanton is the source of 2 pi flux, this fermion has to pick up phase pi. And the boundary condition of fermion has to be twisted around the center of the instanton. And and we know that in this 1+1 dimensional chiral fermion theory, the twist operator has a finite scaling dimension. And because we have infinite number of spinons in this case, where the spinons are parameterized by different angles on the Fermi surface, and each spinon contributes a finite scaling dimension to the total scaling dimension of instanton. And this implies that instanton actually has an infinite scaling dimension. And in the RG sense, the instantons become more, less and less important as we go to longer and longer distance scale. And it's, yeah, so what it says is instanton is irrelevant at this free theory of fermions. Of course, our fermions are not free because of the fluctuating non-compact component of the gauge field. And because of the gauge fluctuation, the fermion can change its momentum by observing momentum of the gauge field Q. So in the interacting case, we cannot just sum the scaling dimension of infinite set of spinons. However, the point is that as we go to lower energy, the gauge momentum has to be scaled, because at low energy momentum, energy of the gauge field becomes smaller and smaller. However, the circumference of the Fermi surface has to be same, because the circumference of the Fermi surface does not scale, because they are the points of the gapless point. Therefore, gauge field becomes more and more ineffective in scattering spinon from one momentum to another momentum. And because of this, the angular variable that parameterizes the Fermi surface actually acquires non-zero scaling dimension, positive scaling dimension. And what this implies physically is that the effective angle around or along this Fermi surface becomes larger and larger as we go to lower and lower energy. Namely, the gauge field becomes more and more ineffective in scattering one fermion from one Fermi surface to one point to another point in the Fermi surface, which means that fermions are more and more decoupled. So fermions which have different velocities are essentially decoupled at low energy. And from this, one can actually argue that even though the fermions are not completely decoupled, there are infinitely many very weakly interacting fermions, and they contribute individually to the scaling dimension of instanton. And the sum of the scaling dimension of instanton actually add up to be infinite, even in the interacting case. And this argument is very general indeed, and I believe that this argument is also true for any non-zero n, where n is the number of spinon flavor. So here is a brief summary. So first, I review some experiments of this organic material, and it seems that the spin liquid state with spinon Fermi surface is a natural candidate, which explains many experiments observed in this material. And this some anomaly in the specific heat and the spin susceptibility around 6 Kelvin might be due to some pairing between these charged neutral spinons. And finally, the gauge theory approach is a good approach low energy description in this case, because of abundance of the low energy excitation near the Fermi surface of spinon, the gauge fields are screened so that this instanton which can drive the confinement transition is strongly suppressed. So that I think gauge theory is a valid low energy description for any non-zero n. In this case, n is 2 for this particular material. Thank you for your attention.
Thanks very much. So questions, comments? Yes?
So you showed the phase diagram in the beginning as a function of pressure.
Okay.
And it looks, well, it looks somewhat like ITC.
Yeah.
Phase diagram. So is this superconducting state unconventional in any way, or?
I think it's a, there are some peculiar property in the superconducting state, but.
Is it D wave or S wave?
I think it's a D wave. Yeah.
It has a linear temperature dependence and the penetration depth.
So it's very similar to what you see.
But, yeah. But this relation between spin-leaking state to the superconducting state is not that clear because, yeah, this is the first order transition. And there's also recent interesting optical measurement around near this boundary where there's almost no temperature dependence in the low temperature resistivity in this region.
Graham?
If you have the spin-on pairing, would there be any other experimental what other experiments could we do to test this idea?
This translation symmetry diffraction. Because this spin-on pairing carries finite momentum. The condensation of that leads to the translation symmetry breaking.
Sort of like an X-ray scattering.
Yeah,
yeah. Any further questions, comments? Yes, ma'am.
So, is there any numerical work that lends support to this idea that you know, you stay, you know, that you don't have to worry about the gauge fluctuations?
Yeah, only numerical work that I am aware of is this tool.
Okay.
Yeah, it does not directly say that gauge theories, these tantrums are not important. It just says that there's some non-magnetic ground state.
Yeah, I think there's something that results from exact condensation from the also probably follow up before this work where they see that while it's still an insulator, you have a collapse of the lots of the singlets are coming in between the singlet and the triplet at in the Hubbard model.
On triangular.
Yeah.
By the
way, I can give you the reference. It's a group from Courtney, I think, is the first author. But we found something similar. If you look at the ring exchange representation of that model and you do exact initialization, you find that when U over T is about 15, that you get singlets coming in into the gap. So so I think the likelihood that there's in a non-ordered insulating phase is quite high.
Any further questions, comments? Well, if not, let's thank some of you.